Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Retro Film Reviews from the Men in Tights podcast. That's right, I am back doing retro film reviews for the first time since September, where my last review was for The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. And I had been intending to do a retro film review once a month, or at least once a month, for this series, and obviously I haven't been able to keep up with it because life happens, and I'm sorry for those of you who have enjoyed my previous retro film reviews. But, you know, I am back doing it, and so that you don't miss out on this and future retro film reviews, make sure to subscribe to the Men in Tights podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, YouTube, wherever you can find the Men in Tights podcast. And follow me on Twitter at IamFositude for all podcast information, you know, because if you don't follow me on Twitter, then you're not going to know anything about the podcast until I upload it. Now, this edition of Retro Film Reviews is all about the WWE's first ever film, No Holds Barred, starring Hulk Hogan, Tiny Lister, Kurt Fuller, Joan Severance, and several WWE stars of that era, including Stan Hansen, Jesse Ventura, Gene Okerlund, and Axe of Demolition. Now, as all of you already know, or at least should know, since I do talk about it on here a lot, I am a sucker for wrestling movies, with Darren Aronofsky's The Wrestler being my favorite, but No Holds Barred was the first wrestling movie I ever watched. I mean, it's bad 80s cheese at its cheesiest, and I love it for that. I love movies that are, you know, the so bad it's good kind of films, and for me, this film definitely falls into that category. And as I said, it stars Hulk Hogan as Rip, who literally is just Hulk Hogan with a different name, has the catchphrase "Rip 'em," and he's the WWF champion in this film as well. And fun little side note, the WWF title used in the beginning part of the film is actually the Andre the Giant version of the title that was introduced in 1987. But in this one, it has the white strap, which I actually really liked. I thought it looked pretty cool. But in the later part of the film, we have the classic winged eagle belt with the white leather strap. We also have Mark Pellegrino as Randy, the little brother of Rip. I don't know why I said Riff. Anyways, who accompanies him to ringside for his matches and plays a pretty integral part in this story that leads to the big fight at the end of the film. And we have Kurt Fuller, who most of you should know who that is by now. He's been in acting for several decades at this point. He plays Brell, the head of the World Television Network, which is the most generic name they could have come up with. And he's angry because Rip and the wrestling show that he is the star of is killing WTN in the ratings, and he's desperate to sign him to an exclusive deal with to the network so that, you know, they get the monster ratings and get all the money and all the endorsements. But Rip turns down his offer, and it angers Brell, who like to refer to Rip as jockass several times throughout the film, which, I mean, why not just call him Jackass? But jockass was the, you know, term of choice for this, you know. And after the meeting where he was trying to sign him, we got the fight in the parking garage that gifted the world with...
What's that smell?
Yes, that scene. Scene that will live on forever, and it's the only thing anyone really ever remembers about this movie. And knowing how the sense of humor of Vince McMahon works, or at least according to several interviews and podcasts that I listen to where they talk about Vince McMahon, I'm fairly certain that this scene was a Vince McMahon idea. And we also had, as I said, Joan Severance as Samantha Moore, a network executive who becomes the love interest of Rip. And she was... yeah. And, you know, she's still gorgeous today. I actually looked her up before I started recording this, and I saw photos of her from some type of gala September of last year, and she is still... Anyways, later on in the film, we find out that she was actually hired by Brell to seduce Rip and try to get him to join WTN, but those plans fail because she was falling for him for real. And now, of course, we have Tiny Lister, who most people remember him best as Devo from the Friday films. He plays Zeus, the man recruited by Brell to take Rip down after scouting talent at the stereotypical trashy bar that gave Brell the idea to broadcast a no-holds-barred wrestling show named Battle of the Tough Guys. And the funny thing is, because this film, it's amazing to me that this film led to bringing Tiny in to the WWF to have actual matches with Hulk Hogan on WWF pay-per-view. And not just a one match, there was a few matches. And, because I don't know if they would do something like that in today's WWE, where a movie translates into a match on pay-per-view. But then again, maybe they would, you never know. Anyway, I mean, the way he looked as the character Zeus, with the horrible unibrow and the Z shaved into the side of his head, and the talking like a brain-dead freak, I mean, it was all so ridiculous and cheesy, like I've already said that it is. But the thing is, it worked here. It really did. Because I highly doubt that anyone working on this film, was taking it so seriously and intended for it to be an Oscar-winning kind of film, because it is the farthest thing from that. That is for damn sure. Anyways, and seeing how brutal a fighter Zeus is, Brell gets the idea of wanting to challenge Rip to face Zeus on his terms, as they put it in the film. And then when Rip refuses the challenge, Brell decides to antagonize Rip by having some dude come after Samantha in a parking garage, somewhere after she was doing grocery shopping. And then by having Zeus hospitalize his brother Randy after Randy and a friend decided to check out one of Zeus's fights in person. And this gave us, the I Will Avenge You hospital bedside scene that was a very popular trope back in the 80s. Probably the 70s as well, not 100% sure. And, like I said, it was a very popular trope in the fighter. This would then lead to the big fight at the end of the film, but before the fight could happen, Brell demanded that Rip do the job, aka lose, or he'll end up in a wheelchair like his brother. And he also had his people snatch Samantha from the elevator when they were arriving for the fight as incentive for Rip to cooperate. But she was eventually rescued by Rip's crew, before all that was going on. And the fight goes off the rails because, it wasn't meant to be like a wrestling match. They were just fighting to beat the shit out of each other. It was kind of like a match you would have seen from WWF in that time. Like I said, it goes off the rails and goes insane and ridiculous, and they're literally tearing the ring apart. And just as it looks like Rip is about to be down for the count, he hulks up for his big comeback and it proceeds to beat the shit out of Zeus before following him up to the production booth, which is literally just little bleacher seat away from them. And Brell, being the hothead that he apparently was throughout the entire film, he's destroying all the production equipment in frustration of Zeus not being able to kill Rip. And he eventually finishes him off, or Rip finishes off Zeus, rather, by doing his double axe handle finishing move. Which, honestly, that's probably more devastating than the leg drop Hulk Hogan actually used. Zeus, he literally, dives off of the balcony area and literally falls right through the ring, making a perfect circular shape of him falling through the ring. And then Rip, he's about to go into the production booth to, go after Brell, but then Brell accidentally electrocutes himself. And the movie ends with Rip, Randy, and Samantha living happily ever after. Oh, look at that. It's a fairly short review, because, there's really not much about this movie that's really that unique when you really think about it, because, like I said, the character of Rip, And I believe the full name was Rip Thomas. It was literally just the Hulk Hogan character, the red and yellow, Hulkamania, Hulk Hogan character, but the only difference literally being the name Rip, the fact that he wore red and blue, red, no, red, white and blue as his colors, had the catchphrase Rip 'em, and his finishing move was a running double axe, sledgehammer thing, instead of the leg drop. And yeah, there wasn't really that much difference from him, from the Hulk Hogan character of that time and the character of Rip in the movie. It's bad 80s cheese at its cheesiest, but I also love these kinds of movies because I can have a good time whenever I watch them. And like I said before, the most memorable thing about this film is the Dookie scene. And the theme song, the No Holds Barred theme song, which is just so damn catchy, and I actually find myself listening to it very often lately, especially when I'm trying to work out. Because it's a kind of song that you would have heard in one of the Rocky movies during that time. And plus, the score was done by Jim Johnston, legendary composer of wrestling theme songs, and it's a very good score. I didn't realize he had done it until I saw the name in the credits, and just like, huh. That makes sense. These WWE movies, even back then, they would have Jim Johnston do the score for these films. I think he did the score for the See No Evil and the Marine films and a couple of the other WWE films from over the last, 15 years, I would say. And Tiny went on to have a fun and fairly successful Hollywood career. Like I said, he was, known as Debo from the Friday films, and he was also in the Dark Knight. He was the big intimidating guard that, when Joker tried to get everybody to to blow up the fairies, he was the one that grabbed the detonator and threw it out the window. Yeah, that was him. And it took me a couple of times watching that film to realize that was him, because even though I've seen the Friday films, but it had been so many years since I'd seen them up to that point, and I didn't recognize him as him. So yeah, but yeah, like I said, Tiny had a good, successful Hollywood career after this film, and then Hulk Hogan went on to become an even bigger legend in the professional wrestling business throughout the 90s, and my love of wrestling movies was born from the moment I saw this film for the first time about 30 years ago, and that love will never die. Now, overall, if I had to give a score to this film, I would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd honestly probably give it a 6, because like I said, it's a cheesy film, dialogue is horrible. But I had fun watching it, rewatching it again now for the first time in so many years. I had fun, and that's even though I love movies that, can strike that emotional chord and can get you thinking about stuff and very philosophical and physiological and all that stuff. But I also love films that, just have a good time when watching them. You can just kind of shut your brain off for an hour and a half and just have fun, and this film definitely does that for me. Now I'm wondering if they were to ever do another No Holds Barred kind of film now with, some of the people of now, most likely they'd probably do it with like a Roman Reigns kind of, maybe Roman Reigns or maybe even a John Cena, but probably not John Cena. I don't know. And maybe I should pitch, WWE Studios, like, hey, you ever thought about doing another No Holds Barred movie? But this time make it actually good. Maybe I'll have to get their contact. I'll have to find their contact information and see if they'll actually, hear my pitch. That's gonna do it for this edition of Retro Film Reviews. Yeah, it's a fairly, this is my shortest one so far. And that's fine, because like I said, nothing about this film was really any special or significant or unpredictable. It's a fairly predictable story. Kindergartner could have written this film. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening to me ramble on for the last 15 minutes. And if you've never seen this film, but if you're like me and you enjoy the so bad it's good style, then I highly recommend this film for you. In the meantime, please be sure to check out my previous retro film reviews for The Lion King 1994, the original, Masters of the Universe, and as I mentioned at the beginning, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, as well as my worst best rankings, my classic wrestling pay-per-views, my other film reviews, my regular podcasts, all of which can be found right here on the Manatized Podcast channel. And if you aren't already, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, YouTube, wherever you can find the Manatites podcast. Follow me on Twitter, at IamFozitude, for all podcast updates. You can follow me on Instagram, at Fozitude, to enjoy some of the photos and memes that I like to post on there. I do a lot of time hop and Bitmoji posts on there. And you can also follow me on Vero, at Fozitude, for pretty much anything, because, you know, like I always say, Vero is the least dramatic social media website you can ever join, and for some people that might be boring, but for me, who does not like to fight, would very much rather not have any conflict, it is my little safe space. Yes, I said safe space. And also, please support the Minotize Podcast by donating to my Hall of Justice on Patreon for only $1 a month. The link will be in the description. And also check out the Minotize Podcast store for all of the shirts, stickers, pins, magnets, wall art, pillows, notebooks, and so much more that I offer on there. And the link for that will be in the description as well. And as always, thank you all so much for tuning in, for watching, for listening, for subscribing, and I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I truly and genuinely do, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And this has been Retro Film Reviews from the Manatize Podcast. I am Julian, and I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.